And I think it's like your personality sort of comes out in your work. And so, you know, it can move and change, and just like, you know, personalities do too. But like, there's sort of like there's a through line that goes through at least my work.
Welcome to the Flying Fruit Bowl, a platform dedicated to the discussion and exploration of art and the creative process. I'm your host and creator, Aaron S., and for this week's episode, I had a conversation with the amazing artist, Michael Kohler. Michael is a fine artist from the US, whose work explores the constant tug of war between nature and the man-made. Working with acrylic paint, Kohler creates characters that are assembled from many different natural and unnatural objects. So I'll start where I start with everybody, which is just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became an artist.
Yeah, sure. First off, thanks for having me. My name is Michael Kohler. I'm an artist from Pittsburgh. I grew up here. I moved away for about 6 years, and then I moved back a couple years ago. I guess it started my art career, sort of started with, I was just always a kid that was drawing from a young age. And in grade school, I was always like the kid that was drawing in the corner, sort of not paying attention, doodling, this and that. And one day I had an art class, I think it was like second grade. The teacher asked to draw, I think it was just like to draw you and your family or something like that. And I drew a picture of the back seat of my parents' car in the backs of my parents' heads. And it was basically like from my perspective. And I didn't really think anything of it. But my art teacher was like, what is wrong with this kid? Like, this is like the weirdest, you know, everybody else was just like house and sky and whatever. And so at that point, it was recommended that I go to like an art elementary school. And so I was transferred from that school to, it's called Rogers. It's no longer there, but it's like a creative performing art artist school where I would have like art for half of the day and then like other academics, math and science and all that sort of stuff for the other half. And I'm super grateful that I was able to do something like that at such a young age and was exposed to things that I wouldn't have been exposed to. So after high school, which once I got to high school, I really kind of rebelled against like all academics, and I just wanted to scrawl in my notebook and be moody and typical teenage stuff. And once I somehow got through high school, I went to school for graphic design, became a graphic designer for about like 8 or 10 years. It was about like 8.5 years, something like that. And I did graphic design in-house and freelance for those years, and also a lot of screen printing. So I did graphic design for a few screen printing places, doing like t-shirts and like posters and stuff like that. And it became something where I was using all of my creativity at work, and I would get home and just be sort of like, just want to veg out and not do anything. And so after a while of that, I decided that I wanted to explore my own creativity and my own ideas and really look into what I had to say, rather than like taking other people's ideas and bringing them to life, which is also like, it's a lot of fun, but I just wanted to say something on my own with my own art. And so I started taking time after work and on weekends to just pursue my own like paintings. And I was never like, I had a few painting classes in college, but it was like watercolor and gouache. And so I really didn't know what I was doing. My uncle had given me like a set of oils. And so I was like painting on just like, you know, like wood from Home Depot and like not priming, not, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. And I did that for like a number of years. I was just making like paintings about like things that were funny to me and like portraits of like people in my life, like my grandma and my friends and stuff. And eventually I made enough of these to where like I ended up just like sort of banana peeling my way into a conversation with a curator at a Pittsburgh gallery called Moxie Dada, which is not there anymore. And they were interested in like my funny little paintings, and they showed them in their gallery for like a little show. And then I ended up having like a 2-person show very early on, which is like, you know, looking back at my early work, it's not embarrassing, but I'm like, how did I do that? So yeah, after that, I sort of went, I went through a few phases with my art, like style wise and conceptually. After like all, I got all like the joke paintings kind of out of my system, and then started like learning about like, okay, like this is how to paint. This is what your substrate should be. This is the, you know, like I gave up the oils a while ago, and I landed on acrylic paint. I'm still using acrylic paint. It's just something that really registers with me. I like the immediacy of it. It's also very challenging sometimes. And then, you know, over the years, I went into like some more like illustrative work, just doing like drawings that I would color in Photoshop, and then just like did digital work for a while. And the stuff that I'm working on now with the nature technology used portraits, it sort of came around like around the pandemic. Before that, I was doing like, I was making masks and doing like wash paintings, and the pandemic time, I only had like a month off, but you know, it was within that time that I was like, I really want to get back into acrylic painting. Cause like I said, I was like dabbling in digital and gouache and making like resin masks and stuff. I wanted to show with galleries again and, you know, make like nice refined paintings. And I wanted to express something that had been on my mind. Of at that point, I had moved out to the Pacific Northwest near like Tacoma and Seattle, and the proximity to nature was so inspiring to me that I couldn't help but want to illustrate how it affected me and how beautiful it was. But at the same time, like I feel like as a person in our modern like digital and technological world, you know, you feel kind of like split between these two things. If you go into like any wooded area in like the peninsula area, there's so many old growth forests, and it's just, it feels like almost like this prehistoric land. It's so beautiful, and I feel like just like a guest there. And then I go home and I'm like on Instagram and I'm on the internet, and it felt like two worlds that like maybe they can benefit one another, you know, because a lot of times whenever you think of like technology, especially like mining, and it's so exploitative. And I just wanted to imagine a world that was where the two can coexist in a way that is not exploiting nature, but helping it grow and helping it. And I know that it may be like an idealistic take, but I've painted a lot of different things, and this is just something that I want to imagine, like what would this look like? And, you know, I do it through my portraits now, that just like, maybe like somebody would look at them and be like, I don't really see that. But, you know, it comes from that place of like nature and technology, essentially like coming together, and where we fit in, like how do humans fit in this? We want to, you know, stand somewhere on either side. Like we're not going to go backwards, you know, unless some sort of like cataclysm occurs or something. And the future looks kind of like weird and dark and unknown right now. And so sometimes it's okay to not always fall onto like dystopia. And I don't know if my paintings are quite utopian. I don't think so, but I think it might just be like another way of looking at how things could be through my funny little portraits.
Yeah, so that's actually quite interesting because I would say they are a very interesting amalgamation of both utopia and dystopia, and they're kind of like the harmony and balance of them both as well, which is quite interesting, actually. But why do you think art is a good method to explore this particular like subject?
Well, I mean, first off, I've been creating art since I was like a little kid, and it's it's kind of my whole output. It's my outlet for what I have to say. Like, I'm not a writer. I'm not making films. I create my art. Like, I create two-dimensional, sometimes three-dimensional art. I do feel like there are other people that are into, you know, this idea that do write or have larger platforms that can like talk about this stuff. But this is my way. This is my way to convey what I have to say about this. And, you know, maybe the paintings don't always like beat you over the head with it, which is kind of the point anyway. But, you know, if somebody were to read my artist statement or just listen to this podcast or ask me, I would tell them all about it. So I think art is just my vessel.
I mean, I completely agree. I think most artists would say that. Quite a lot of artists that I currently talk to nowadays are very much not against writing about their work, but they don't like writing about their work because the whole point is that they create the work. And I feel like, you know, what everything they've got to say is in the work themselves, as opposed to being able to write like an essay about what their work is about. Like, the whole point is, for the most part, or for most people, is that the audience gets to decipher the work in any way they see fit. It's not for the artist to necessarily have to describe what they're creating. It's more of the experience of the work itself, as opposed to like, this is how you should read it. And
right.
Is that idea of like ambiguity actually an element in your work?
I think so. Sometimes whenever the metaphor is right out in the open, it's exciting and it's, you know, you could see it and it's decipherable. But sometimes if it's too obvious, it's like, all right, we get it. It's on the nose, you know? And so I think that with my art, I try to be somewhere in that ambiguous zone. But I do think that, like, especially if you know anything or about my work or like read my artist statement or anything, it's there. And so, but not every painting, especially in the beginning, like of this new body of work that I've been creating, like I also did work that was more on the end of technology and how it affected me personally. I did a piece called All Out of Focus, and it was about how technology and like the constant screen time and notifications and everything just left me sort of like frazzled, you know, all out of focus. And the painting itself is, it's sort of like a cacophony of like shapes and lines and wires and this big smiling face made out of different things. And there's this little automaton guy at the bottom just trying to like keep it all together, keep them in a way.
See, I love the idea that there is like a central idea or a central theme to the work, but it's not necessarily given to you. Like, you're right, like people can look at that particular image, for instance, and get a lot of different meaning out of it, but yet to you as the creator, it was made with your own personal kind of like experience in mind. And I kind of wanted to just ask you, like, kind of like, how has your upbringing or life experiences played a part in your work?
So like I said, I was born in Pittsburgh. I was like, you know, city kid. I think that I was a child of the 80s and 90s. And so like pop culture was definitely an influence for me at the time. I do remember my cousin and I, who were very close, who's basically like my brother. I think he got a Nintendo, and we were playing Mario. And I do remember the first time, this is just an aside, but the first time I ever played Nintendo, some guy showed it to me and my dad, and I thought we were watching a cartoon. And then he handed me the controller, and my mind was blown that I was controlling the cartoon. Anyway, So we would just like pause the Nintendo and then draw the scene. And we would just go to a different level and then draw the scene. We would also draw like Ninja Turtles and Batman with like swords and ninja stars and like black eyes and stuff, you know. So we were taking something that this existing pop culture element and then twisting it, which I guess is like a super popular thing to do now with The Simpsons and, you know, whatever. But I think one thing that really I have like a moment that like really helped shape me. And it was I think I was like in the third grade or so, and I was in the Cub Scouts. It's like pre-Boy Scouts. And I was just a quiet kid, and I didn't really, I don't even know why I was there. I think my parents just enrolled me. And there was a banquet for all the kids, and they had a raffle, and I won the raffle somehow. And I won a full set of Marvel trading cards, like the first one, the 1991 that had ever come out. And I wasn't really even the comic books at the time. Like I was, I don't know what I was doing. I was drawing Mario screens or something. And it like totally blew my mind. And I like quit. I was like, I'm done with Cub Scouts. Like, this is what I'm into now. And so we went, me and my cousin, his name was Ricky. We went from drawing Nintendo screens to just drawing all of these cards and acting them out and creating little scenarios and writing little stories and stuff. So that was like a big sea change for me. I think too, like, you know, as I got older, I got into skateboarding and like the art that came along with that, with like not only like all the skate decks, which were all like really cool, especially for like a budding graphic designer, somebody that just has that sort of mind and eye, but also like all of the culture that came around with it, you know, with like graffiti culture. And so that was all very inspiring. So, and then once I got into college, it, you know, it was just another, like, learning about the history of art and learning about the fundamentals and everything that came after that. It was just, it's all stepping stones, you know, and that's still how I look at what I do now. It's like every painting I do is like a stepping stone toward the next one, because I kind of like learn something new with each painting, and I try to take what I learn and, you know, take risks with paintings and say like, I've never put ferns in a painting before. I tried putting like foliage and ferns and different things, and like now I have that. I can build upon that on the next one.
Dude, that's really funny. Actually really cool, because I'm a 90s baby, so like Super Mario and Nintendo are like my childhood. And like, I've never ever in my entire history of like ever playing any video game ever thought about pausing it to draw the screen. That's such a cool idea.
Yeah.
Like I kind of feel like, imagine what people could do with that nowadays. And also it's kind of just
God.
Like how cool would it be? Like, I just feel like I'd be personally just so amazed if I just saw somebody do that now, like really well. I'd be like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah. And they would also do it probably like digitally, or like super, it'd be like Halo or so. I don't know, new games.
Or they can make it like, you know, augmented reality or something like that. And, you know, things would change. God, like, you know, something like that could be cool. I don't know. There's so much you could do with that. That's so interesting. But you talked about pop culture, and I think that's actually kind of interesting for you and your work. Like, firstly, because your work, the thing I'm really fascinated by your work is that it's very elemental. There's a lot of different things that go into one piece of work, and just your work as a whole. And it's almost like, it's kind of strange, because it's almost like you have to, it's like a puzzle you have to solve, because there's always like, there's, for the most part, there's always like a central character or a central face, but they're never really like full-bodied flesh and bones kind of people. They're kind of almost made of so many different things. And it kind of makes me consider the way in which, and I guess the whole point of the work is like how we're all made of very different things. We're all like a product of our environment. Like, that's really fascinating to me. Like, how did you, I guess more rather than say, you know, how did you come across that kind of style? But like, how did you kind of come to work in this way, I guess?
So, yeah, I do just want to say that like putting it together, putting these faces together with different elements, it's like shorthand for saying like we're multifaceted creatures. We can have times of like reflection in nature, and we can have times where we're like totally obsessed with like Instagram or whatever else. It's putting it all together and realize like it's still this like beautiful or like weird, strange, ugly creature that we are. I guess I came to work in this way. It kind of happened where I just started taking different drawings and different things that I liked drawing and putting them together in interesting ways. I've sort of, for the most part, like always, I mean, I used to do scenes, but for the most part, it's been like taking taking different elements together. So I had a sketchbook where I was trying this idea of like taking all these different elements together. And it took me a few tries to sort of get something that I liked. You know, I started out with a lot of different natural elements that were like flowers and bones and like weird ribbons and things. And you could see, well, I could see sort of like the makings of what was to come. And it wasn't until I did two paintings. There's one called Endless Growth and another called Technology Will Save Us, that I feel like I really like honed in on it. And I went in with the idea of these creatures are both on the end of technology. And so I wanted them to be like automatons, like robotic. And what they were interacting with at the time were like these gemstone people, which that sort of represented like the natural world.
So that's interesting to me because, like, would you say you have a style?
Yeah, I think so. I've talked to a lot of artists about like style. Mm. And for the past, wow, I guess like 4 years now, I've been working in this style. And a little bit before that too, it was just like sort of not as refined as it is now. But I've talked to other artists and I'm like, man, I feel like I'm so inconsistent. And, you know, working with galleries, they say your work's consistent and it's good. It's good for collectors and what have you. But I feel like you're just working and you're exploring something that you want to say conceptually, or even if you're just doing mark making or process art or whatever, if you are working on enough paintings or sculpture or whatever, and enough pieces within a short span of time and sort of like considering it a series, like that style is going to be consistent and your style will come out. Maybe not if you're like just starting. You know, I've been at this for a while and my style has like sort of jumped around a little, but there have always been things that I gravitate toward, line work and, you know, movement and like disorganization. But it's like an organized chaos, I guess, which is kind of, it's similar to my life. So I think that like style sort of just comes out. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, like, this is just the way I paint. Like, this is what comes out is the way that I do it. And if I were to look at somebody else's painting and like try to do that, like, yeah, I might be able to do it, but it would be contrived and it would be like forced. Whenever I'm like in the flow and in the zone, like I just naturally paint like this. And I think it's like your personality sort of comes out in your work. And so, you know, it can move and change and just like, you know, personalities do too. But like, there's sort of like there's a through line that goes through at least my work. You know.
So what do you think the biggest like evolution in your work has been since you started? And has there been anything that's kind of surprised, like, you know, that you've been surprised with in your own work?
Well, we'll start from like when I started painting. From the beginning, I was just making marks and like doodling and having fun. I did a lot of funny things. But once I started painting, like I said in the beginning, I would just like come up with a title. I worked my first job out of school. It was this like really crappy graphic design job, designing banners for trade shows. And the art director there was like a pretty weird guy. And I was like in my early 20s. I was still skating. And he hit me with the, yeah, I used to skate, which a lot of people say that. Now I say that, so I guess it's full circle. But I made a painting out of that. I did a portrait of him called, yeah, I used to skate. And I would just think, take things that are funny to me and illustrate them. I had a painting of my car on fire, painting, like I said, of like some portraits of friends and families. And then after that, I started to get like a little bit more like autobiographical and do these like scenes with, I was like big into like robots even back then, but it was like a big boxy headed robot with the body of a human. And it was sort of, I guess, kind of exploring a very similar idea of like human nature, but it was more on like how society sees like a proper person versus like how like primally we feel. And so it was like the head of a robot, the body of like a person, like a beast type person, you know? And so I put like this robot and like a figure, like a human, like in these worlds where like all of these like long tendrily poles would come up. And I did that for a while, and then finally I just got sick of doing it, and so I like killed the robot in a painting. And then I did a few portraits, like surreal portraits. They're actually still on my website because I like them, back in like 2014, 2015, where I was exploring archetypes, like traditional, like Jungian or like tarot or whatever archetypes. I made a whole list of them. I actually only ended up finishing three, but I had like, I think like three other ones started. I just got rid of them. But it was archetypes and like, what would an ecosystem look like in an archetype with the knowledge of what comes with a traditional archetype? And so like I did the Fool, which is like a tarot archetype. And I did like the Fool was like the skeleton with an axe with like a big grin on his face. And inside his belly was like a forest fire. And it's sort of just this thing, especially when people are lighting off fireworks for like ceremonies or whatever. It's just this dumb thing that doesn't need to happen, but sometimes it does too. I guess it just happens naturally in nature. And there were a few other, there were like the creator, and then I did one about an addict. And then after that, I actually like took a break for a while and focused on music. And I didn't do anything, like I was just making music with my friends. And eventually I moved, my girlfriend and I moved out to Tacoma, Washington, and then later to Puyallup, which is like just south of Seattle. And it sort of revitalized my art career. I was so inspired by the people that I met out there. Just the art that they were creating was so different, and it seemed so like vibrant and alive to me that it reignited the spark art, because at that point I think it had been like 2 years since I painted. And we started hosting, my girlfriend and I started hosting Drink and Draws. We were brand new there and we didn't know anybody. Like we started the Drink and Draw to try to like meet people and make friends, and we did, and it was a lot of fun just like drawing sort of whatever came out. Like there was no pressure to do some big like impressive painting. It was just like hang out with friends, have a couple drinks and doodle and get to know these people. But eventually I did start painting, and I started working on like these squash paintings of like these lizard and bat faces. And it was like very much like a world building thing. Like it was it could sort of fit like within like a D&D canon or something. And I had fun with those. And it was, I would write like little snippet stories for each character. And I started making resin masks out of them. It was around that time that a friend of mine, Jeremy in Tacoma, introduced me to Nathan Cartwright at the Hive Gallery in LA. And they were having their Master Blaster sculpture show. And he was really like enamored by my masks. And he said, we'd love to have you in this show. You can also put a few paintings down. And I actually like got to go down and meet Nathan and wow. be in LA for a little bit, and like went to the show, met the other artists. It was a really cool experience. And it was this new art that was like weird and something I had never done before, especially with the gouache paintings. And Nathan was willing to like take a chance and put me in that show. And that again, like ignited another spark, which was like working with galleries. And eventually I sort of got like, was like, well, I like the idea of like showing at galleries, but I feel like my work isn't really what I want to say anymore. It is sort of like, I'm telling these like little stories, you know, about these characters, and it's like sort of like fantasy. But there was a lot on my mind that I really wanted to explore, and it almost felt like those were like escapism, you know, where I was just like writing about or like painting and writing about these characters that didn't exist, and they had like rivalries and dynamics, which is interesting, but I just wanted to do something else. And so I had already been thinking that, and then the pandemic happened and it stopped everything, and it sort of just gave me a chance to like think about what I actually want to say and what I really want to do with my art. And it was around that time that I started doodling in my sketchbook and just putting together these different elements, like these primordial, you know, ribbons for a mouth and stone eyes and, you know, whatever. And then it eventually like morphed into the first several paintings that came out of that. And it was those few paintings, actually the ones I referenced before, the Endless Growth and Technology Will Save Us, those two first paintings that I submitted to Arch Enemy Gallery in Philly for their Spotlight Showcase. And I was accepted, and I've been working with them ever since. And I love working with them. Gone out and visited a few times, and they're great. Their gallery's great. It's huge. And so now I'm just like on the gallery thing, you know, creating paintings every month and what have you.
So why is it important for you to work with a gallery? Like, what does that give you that not working with a gallery doesn't?
Well, one thing that's very important for me is deadlines, you know, because like I said, I worked on those like archetype paintings, and the one that I described, the Fool, I stopped that painting for 6 months because I drew a bunch of stuff that was very challenging. There's like a skeletal hand, there's like a skull, fire, all sorts of stuff. And I was like, oh, this is too hard. I can't do this. And so I like sat on it for 6 months, but I feel like with the gallery, it's like, this has to be done. I got a month, I got 2 months, and it's got to be done. I mean, that's a huge thing for me personally. It's just like having deadlines, but it's also like, I feel like being within the gallery world, it feels like I'm part of something bigger, and it allows me to be part of the art community with each gallery. And there are a lot of artists that I've met through galleries that are now, they're like my virtual pals. They're my online friends. So there's that, there's the art community. And also galleries have collectors, and that is a huge part of it. There's a lot to be said about Instagram and selling directly to people there. And a lot of people do it and do it well. And like, I have done it from time to time, especially, you know, in the four times, but, galleries like consistently sell, and it's their job. They want to stay open. And so they are art appreciators, but they're also salespeople. So like, you send them a painting, and like, it's within their interest to sell the painting. So it's like, we can't pretend that like the financial side isn't important, because it just is. If you want to be a full-time artist, like if I'm doing this on my own, on top of like creating all these paintings and doing all the other stuff that I have to do, like marketing is, it's difficult, you know, it's difficult to wear all those hats. So giving it to somebody else, sure, they take a a percentage, but most times it's well worth it. You know, the galleries that I work with, they all do like very good work, working with their collectors, working with their artists to try to find, you know, the best work for their collectors and try to find the best collectors for their artists.
So does the kind of work you create change with the gallery you show the work with?
No. This is like one reason why I don't do commissions, is because I want to create the art that I want to create. And sometimes there are galleries that have some pretty like wild themes, you know, where they have like multiple themes within one thing, but that's pretty rare. For the most part, like they'll put out something that is either like my work gels with it or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, I'm not gonna do that show. But if it's something where they're like, oh, we're doing like a forest theme or like a surreal theme or something like that, something where I'm like, oh, I'm already doing that. Then, you know, and the galleries that I've worked with too have been just very like open and cool about like pretty much like everything I've given them. I think it's just like within my interest to just give them consistent work, yet like continue to evolve. And I don't know. I think that is, that's the way to go.
Are there any particular galleries you'd like to work with but you haven't worked with yet?
Well, I submitted to Arch Enemy and Maureen, and Arch Enemy had been like at the top of my list for years. I followed them just as a, you know, a civilian. For a long time. And so whenever I got in that show, I was like, I was so pumped. And then I submitted to to Modern Eden. And after some like after some time of like waiting, they got back to me and they said, you know, I think your work would be great here. And so that was like awesome to like right at the top of my list. I think the big one is Think Space. You know, they do so much in the art world and for artists, and they work with museums, they work with other galleries, you know, they get murals for artists. They seem super cool. So it seems like that would be the logical next step. But at the same time, you know, I've been an artist and been a painter for a while, but with like the national gallery scene, like I'm relatively new. You know, I've been like working nationally for, I guess, like 3 or 4 years, 3.5 years, something like that. And, you know, I've had, you know, several galleries reach out to me and we work together, and it's been great. But to like go to some of like the bigger galleries, I want to get like a new series under my belt and just like approach with that, you know, which is kind of what I'm doing now, this solo show.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, do you have any advice for artists who might be looking for gallery representation? Or at what point do you feel like you know that you need some kind of gallery representation?
Yeah. Well, I did know for, you know, like I said, I followed Arch Enemy for a while and I did know that my work was not ready for a while. And like, I made a conscious effort to produce some very like solid work to submit to them. So I would say, you know, somebody, especially if you're just starting out, whenever you're first starting, give yourself like the space to explore your style, any concepts that you want to explore, because that's the time to do it. If you want to try like acrylic, oil, sculpture, pastel, pencil, color pencil, like whenever you're first starting out, like that's the time to do it. You don't necessarily have to post all that stuff. Do it while not everybody's watching though.
Yeah.
As far as getting representation, I mean, a lot of galleries just have it all on their website. Like, contact us via form, via email, don't contact us. But like, some of the galleries like Arch Enemy and like Lulu's, they have like a one time a year like submission for anybody. Like, that's how I got in with them. Those are great to get into. You could send submissions through however they want to accept it, and cross your fingers and send your best work, send it email however they want, and then write a good artist statement too. There are a lot of articles about writing like a concise artist statement, 200, 300 words, something like that.
So do you consider your work to be autobiographical?
I mean, I guess I can't really help it for it to not be autobiographical, but I feel like I'm sort of like exploring an abstract idea as opposed to like looking inward and it being like about my emotions or about me, but it is about my experience. My art is like cliche, you know, my art is like a filter. Like, I filter the world through my art, and this is just, it just so happens to be like, this is what I fixate on. I have like a need to connect to nature, but I'm living in the 21st century. Like, the technological wasn't just like the online thing. It's also just like technology is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's the tools we use, it's the infrastructure and everything. And it's incredibly beneficial to humankind, but just like everything else, it's, there are two sides to everything. And I'm just sort of exploring with the gray area. It's like how the two coexist.
So I'm kind of curious about like the reality in your work in terms of like, because you create images of, I guess, characters, like, do they all coexist in the same world? How important is world building kind of like in your work as well?
Yeah. I guess in a way I am kind of like world building, but I think that it's like you're peering into this unreal world, and these are the entities that exist there. I used to question whether or not I should put like little people or figures around it, especially just to show scale, but I've come up with other ways to show scale. But I kind of want it to be a little sparse. Like, there's this world that's like not untouched, because there are elements that we have been there and we are still there. But I want it to be like you're finding this thing. And I don't know if there's like much interaction between these characters. But I don't know. Maybe I'll explore that in some other paintings. I'll do two figures in one painting. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because that would be really interesting. That kind of, I look at your work and I feel like it's interesting because your work is so consistent. Like, even though each image is so different and it's just so varied, it's also still very consistent. Like, I can see a piece of your work and know exactly that it's yours because you have a distinct style. Yeah. I think it's also really interesting because your graphic design background, I think that really does actually lend well into your work currently. I feel like you can kind of tell, like, through the idea of like shape and colors and texture and line, that you have like a graphic design background, because it all kind of comes together. Sure. New things have been considered in your work. And I'm kind of like curious, because there's always so much to look at, like, what is the challenge of creating such detailed work? Because I think it's hard to kind of say sometimes, but there's a lot of detail that goes into what you do.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, this is like kind of just the way that I paint, and it's what I'm drawn to. I'm also drawn to like gestural, loose, beautiful work, but it's, whenever I try it, it just seems messy. And so I'm trying to find an in-between where I'm like, okay, like parts of it are sort of, you know, this loose, gestural, like alive movement. And then other parts are this meticulous detail. And I'm getting there. Like I said, it's like stepping stones. Each painting, like I gain a little more confidence with doing it. But yeah, the detail, it can be tedious, but I also just enjoy it too. It's sort of meditative, and it creates a sense that these characters like actually could exist. it's not realism, but it's like unrealism. They are convincingly real in that they have depth. You know, it seems like they can exist, and I feel like the details help push that. And without that, it would be something different. It wouldn't necessarily be lesser, but it would be different.
So do you actually ever worry about like repetition in your work of like the ideas and the imagery? Because it is all quite consistent. But how do you make sure that it doesn't all kind of blend into one, or how we're not bored by looking at your work, or how you're not bored by looking at your work?
Yeah. I don't know if I have that problem yet, worrying about repetition. Like I said, I'm working on a solo show now with Arch Enemy, and I went into it with the intention of creating like a very consistent series. There are two pairs that are essentially like sister paintings with each one. So two sets of two that are very similar. And it allows me to sort of explore like what I can do with the same thing. You know, one thing that I like is limits. This is something I learned with graphic design, is like, especially doing posters or t-shirts, it's like you're within the limits of the frame, and you can do whatever you want within that frame, or color scheme, or whatever, line work, or, and then keeping within those limits, but exploring, it's sort of like, okay, I've set these rules for myself. I do very vivid portraits using the theme that I'm interested in. How can I best express this using all the symbols and different pieces that I use? And right now, it's still like interesting to me. That's not to say that the novelty won't wear off, but I don't think it will, because I think that even over the past few years, you could see there's been an evolution. At least I can see it. I'm very close to it. So, but I think that the work will just continue to evolve. And I think that new elements will appear and old ones will drift to the back. And I'm not really too worried about repetition like becoming something that gets tiring. You know, I know there are artists that do like almost the same painting over and over. I know there was an artist, I think it was, I can't remember his name, Eric Jones or something, that saying like, you know, being a successful artist is basically painting the same painting over and over, which I get that, but that's not something that I'm really into. I'm essentially like trying to like say the same thing almost. I deviate sometimes, but like say the same thing with each painting in a different way, you know, and then there's just trying to like hit the nail on the head until I like really get there. I feel like I've gotten there a couple times with my paintings where I'm like, wow, this is it. But like sometimes it deviates, and not to say that those paintings, I don't like those paintings, I do, but they don't always like hit the nail on the head with what I'm trying to say. But sometimes surprises happen and something new comes about. So for a long rambling answer, yes.
No, that's perfect. But I kind of wonder, like, if you did hit the nail on the head, would you ever feel the need to create art again? Because you've said what you wanted to say.
Yeah. I mean, it's just something that it's going to happen whether I like to or not. You know, like if I'm not creating art, like I'm depressed. I have to, like, I can only consume so much before like I need to produce. And so even if I hit the nail on the head, it's like, all right, let's try it from a different angle. Let's like change the perspective. And it's essentially what I'm doing. One of the ones that I really like that is, it is kind of like a very blatant metaphor, but it's a painting I did called The Agreement. And it was for a small work show, and it's a robotic hand holding a flower that's coming out of its hand. And it's like this pink and like mauve purple painting. And it's only 8 inches by 8 inches. And I love that painting. I feel like this is it. Like the two can coexist where they benefit. The nature is like coming from the technology, and like and it's blooming, it's happy, and the plant is like thriving, and so is the technology. It's probably a little like hobbled in what it is allowed to do, But there are other paintings too. It's like, there are other ones that I could think of that it's not as blatant. And there's just like a feeling that comes with it. There is an ambiguity to it. And I like sitting within that ambiguity. Not everything has to be such a, like a metaphorical puzzle.
So let's talk a bit about your solo show. So like, how did it come about and how is this work different from your previous work?
Well, so I've done quite a few group shows with Arch Enemy, and I visited a couple times and got to know them. They're super nice. And they said, what would you think about doing feature? And I was super, you know, pumped and said, yeah. And that was last year. It was sort of like toward the end of last year. And I had like a few group shows that I had to like tie up, especially the small work shows. And then I've been working on a new set of about, I'm going to say, 9 paintings for this feature. And they are different than some of my older works. There was a transition point, and it was when I moved back to Pittsburgh from Washington State in 2021. The work that I was doing was already sort of like evolving a little bit. But once I moved back, to me, there was like a very like clear change. And I changed my color palette from like using every tube of paint that I have to being very selective and sort of wanting to use primarily like a green color palette. And so I've stuck with that. And at first there were like a few like like training wheel paintings that I did, where I was trying to like show depth or trying to like explore like these terrariums. And I feel like now, a few paintings ago, actually, I really like got to where I was happy with it. And now I'm exploring that further and doing some other fun things with like scaffolding and my typical like tubes and wires that I like to do. And I have a couple pieces that aren't finished yet that I'm excited and curious to see how they turn out. I'm trying a couple new things and at the same time doing some aspects of my paintings that I haven't done in a little bit too, and sort of trying to bring elements back. So I think it'll be like a almost like a full circle, like I've changed but parts are still the same type show.
Yeah, that's really interesting actually, because like just the idea, the good thing about your work, which is what I really enjoy about it, is that because you have so many different elements, you don't know what to expect. There's always like the surprise of like, oh, so how are you going to like continue your thoughts and considerations and themes and explorations, but just in a different way? And you kind of set yourself up really well to the point that you can kind of just do a bit of anything. And you kind of probably make it hard for yourself because you have so many different options you could kind of roots if you can go down. It's like, how do you try to figure out, you know, what's going to be like the best course of action or the best like visual aesthetic to use, especially?
Yeah, I hear you. You know, it's like having a lot of different things within your tool belt and not knowing exactly which tool to use for the job. But it's also like very liberating to say, like, you know, I have all these elements that I like to use. What best suits what I'm trying to say, or like what for this particular painting, what best suits that? I don't know. I think that I do like having like a lot of options and a lot of elements to my paintings that I can pull from.
So I'm kind of curious, like, what is your creative process like? Do you have any particular routines that, you know, help you focus on creating work?
Yeah. So I think the process inevitably starts like outside of the studio with being inspired, being in nature. I spend so much time in the studio that it's hard to like always find that time to be inspired, but I try to make it, especially my girlfriend sort of demands that we don't spend every waking hour at the studio. Once I do make it here, I usually start looking at some of my ideas that I've jotted down. Sometimes I'll write like title ideas or just like concepts, or like idioms or cliches. I like to think of those, you know, like a line in the sand or like the masks we wear or something, you know, like different sayings. I used to do that a little bit more than I do now. I ended up getting COVID. And during that time, I like couldn't paint. I was like in bed for like a week. And I used that time to like, I basically like wrote out everything that I'm trying to say with my art and thematically and visually, you know, elements to add into it. It's very nerdy, but I feel like it was pretty helpful. It's as something that I can look to, especially if I'm feeling like stuck and be like, oh yeah, like I did want to add in more wires. No. But I take that information and then I always go to a sketchbook. Like I have an iPad and I use it for other things. I don't use it for sketching. It's just I'm old and I like the old way. And so I'll do a bunch of sketches and land on something that I'm happy with. The sketches evolve. I'll do like multiple. There's a painting for this show where I think it was 6 or 7 drawings of the same idea and just trying like get it better and better. I used to do color studies, especially whenever I was like, I'll use any color. I'll use every color. But now that my palette has like calmed down a little bit for now, what I'll usually do is I'll start a painting. And if I get stuck on like, what color should I make this part? I'll take a picture of it with the iPad and pop it into Procreate. And then that's where I actually use the iPad. I'll try a lot of different colors for whatever section I'm curious about. I found that to be really helpful rather than doing like a whole color study at the beginning, which sometimes I have still done. It is helpful, especially if like for a very complex painting, but just doing it as I go now, it definitely saves on time. After, you know, I start the painting, then it's just like, you know, digging the ditch. You just got to get in there and do it and see it to its end and sign it and send it and bon voyage, you know, I never see it again.
So I think the idea of kind of giving yourself that time just to stop making work and to think about the work is actually a really big vital part of being an artist. I think a lot of the times people believe they have to keep creating, but I think it's actually the moments where you're not creating, I feel like it's sometimes often more helpful to your work because you're thinking about what you're doing. Because I think we all get caught into this trap of, particularly social media, like feeling like we have to post all the time, like we have to be creating all the time. When actually taking a small step back, whether that's deliberately or accidentally, it gives you the idea to kind of actually just ask yourself, like, what am I doing? And what do I want to do? It gives you a chance to realign. And I think the fact that you kind of spend that time writing down thematically, especially all the things you're interested in, it probably gives you a much better idea now of like how your work ties together and where you want it to go and what you're interested in and what you're not interested in also. You're not going to waste time creating work you don't like.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just self-reflection, especially like having a computer in your pocket at all times. It's hard to like give yourself the time for self-reflection, but it's very important, you know, even just at the end of the day. Like I was in therapy for about a year and my therapist like suggested that I start journaling. And like I'm not in therapy anymore, but like it's something that stuck. And I still like, even if it's just like, you know, I worked in the studio again and getting very close to the end of the painting. But sometimes I allow myself, especially if I'm not like dead tired at the end of the day, the time for self-reflection and to reflect on my day or reflect on my art or my life or whatever. And like I said before, like you can only consume so much before you're completely fatigued. Like you have to like stop from time to time and just like give your mind a chance to process, you know, like even like without technology, just the process of your day.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So I'm kind of curious, like, because you work in a studio, like, do you ever get lonely whilst working? And like, how do you kind of combat the loneliness of creating isolation?
So I just moved into a new studio, and there are a lot of artists here, working artists, and they're here every day, or most days, and I'm here almost every day. And so I can pop out at any time and like just say, like, I need to talk to somebody. Like, how's it going? What's happening with your art? I've only been here 2 weeks. And before that, I was in a different studio and it was almost completely vacant. There was one other artist there who was right across from me and my girlfriend, who is my studio mate, which is another, like, she's here. I could just talk to her if she wants to talk. But at this other studio, I would just go over to, his name's Peter. I would go over and talk to Peter, especially if you're putting in like, I usually put in like 8 to 12 hour days or something. Mm. It does get lonely. I'll like call my friends. I mean, podcasts help, but at the same time, if you're like working a lot, you get burned out on, you know, listening to other people talk. You know, you want to have some input. And so making time for outside of the studio, or if you're at home too, if you have a home studio, like, go take a walk, go to a coffee shop, call your mom, call your friends. You have to break up the monotony. And also, like, I'm learning the importance of just like, just take breaks. I have the habit of like fixating and hyper focusing on a painting or whatever I'm focused on, and I will just completely forget to take breaks. And so like, I'll set myself timers to just be like, okay, after 3 hours, take a 20 minute break or something and just talk to somebody, or like just do something not art related for a little bit, just to get like just to recenter and move around too. I recently started going to the gym. It's like, you know, the difference between like sitting at a studio for entire days stretches and then like going to the gym first and then sitting and taking breaks, my back feels better, my body feels better.
Yeah, to be fair, I think that's actually quite important, because I feel like your health is actually a huge kind of factor in the work you're going to create and how you're able to create it. I feel like something that we don't really talk about enough in terms of art, in terms of like, you know, if your health is good, you're able to be able to sit down for long periods of time. You're able to be able to create work for long periods of time. It's actually quite helpful too.
Yeah, it's important, but it's also like difficult to make that first step. You know, it took me a lot. My girlfriend, like, like, I think we should do this. And I was like, but I'm happy that I came.
So what kind of scale is your work? And would you ever consider painting like mural-like images?
I would love to do murals. Once it gets a little warmer out, I would like to like at least just do like a free wall, or just, you just got to like get your feet wet with it. So I would love to, and especially like a commissioned mural. But the scale of my work right now is I would say like medium size. I do small works for small shows, which is like less than 12 inches square. My work tends to be like just above that, and from anywhere from like 1 foot to 2 feet, like, you know, 12 to 24 inches. Even with that size, like somewhere like right in the middle with like some of the detail that I do, it takes a while. So like if I were to like go bigger, like maybe it would give me a chance to be like, all right, I'm gonna go like real gestural with this one, and then maybe like plug in some of the detailed bits here and there. But knowing myself, I would probably just do the whole thing detailed in a masochistic sort of way.
Yeah, so I feel like personally, I think your work would really suit murals, or suit like that really large scale, because I feel like it'll give your work a whole kind of different outlook. And I feel like being commissioned by like, I don't know, some kind of tech company or some kind of like nature company or something in between as your work is about, I think it would be so well aligned with what you do. I think I could absolutely see that happening. I think it'd be really cool personally. I think there's definitely really that cool potential for sure, I would say.
Right.
So one thing I want to ask you also about is your titles of your work, because your titles are really interesting. And I'm kind of curious, like, do your titles come first?
Sometimes they do. I usually just like make something up at the end of it. But I do feel like if I have a title going into it, I have like a whole list of titles, and I'm like, oh, it's not time for that one yet. I'm saving it. You know? But like, if I have a title first, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, like I have this overarching theme, but it's like, what's the subplot of the painting? The title is kind of like the subplot. Like, yeah, we have this theme, but what's going on in this particular painting? And so, like I said, a lot of times the titles come afterward, and sometimes a title will just be like there, and I'm just like, cool, that's it. And then other times I'm like, oh, I'm struggling to just like do anything. But some of them I have a lot of fun with. Stepchild of Nature, I feel like, is one of the ones where I'm like, yeah, that sort of nailed it. It's like nature 2.0, where a new world that we've created, but it's not quite what it was, but it's its little sister.
So do you feel like you're part of a larger art community?
Yeah, I do. I feel like Instagram and social media has really opened that up. There are a lot of artists that I talk to pretty regularly on Instagram. Some, you know, I talk to on the phone now, that I've met through there. But I've also met some of them like at galleries. And I do feel like being in the gallery circuit, I do feel like part of a bigger thing, you know, where like magazines will like write about it, or blogs, and it's like, okay, I'm like part of this world. It sort of feels like surreal, because I've like looked up to a lot of these people, and now I'm like talking with them, and or like being in shows with them, or and it's humbling.
So what keeps you motivated to create new work?
I made a decision that I would like to be an artist, and a full-time artist. And so there's that where I'm like, all right, well, I have to make money, but it's also like, I just want to explore the possibilities of what I can do with paint and a wood panel. And I also see so many artists that are creating amazing, beautiful pieces. And, you know, I want to create like beautiful work. I want to create something that inspires someone, or, you know, leaves them like thinking about it later. Like, I want it to be something that somebody thinks about and maybe interprets it in their own way, or, you know, uses it as their own inspiration.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. I think your work does do that as well, though, because it is very contemporary. And the cool thing about your work also is that it can reflect current issues going on in the world, particularly with like carbon emissions, or just global warming and stuff like that, in terms of like the way in which we are destroying nature, or the way in which man-made versus nature is kind of having this, you know, quite contemporary current battle. So what has creating art taught you about yourself?
Well, I guess it's shown me that I'm like capable of doing something at a scale that I could be proud of. Sometimes I look back at my old work and I'm like, hey, you know, I was really on to something. You know, I got that one. Like, I could look back at it with like a sense of pride. Sometimes whenever I finish a piece, I'm like, oh, it's so good. And then I, like a week later, I'm like, this is absolute shit. And then full circle, I'll look back at it a few months later and be like, this isn't really that bad. It's pretty good, actually. Yeah, it's taught me that I can like produce something that I'm proud of, and like it can like sit in a gallery and be amongst a bunch of really incredible, stellar art. It's also shown me, especially with working with galleries, that like I can hit deadlines. I can, you know, I can like do this.
So would you say you're more introverted or extroverted?
I think I'm both. It depends on the context. I'm a extroverted introvert or something. I don't know. I think that like being in the studio so long makes me feel like an introvert, but I am like dying to talk to people and like be, you know,
yeah, fair enough,
be around like a group. But at the same time, you know, like I think it's just human, or maybe, I don't know, extroverted people, introverted people may not agree, but it's so much interaction can leave you exhausted. It's like what I was saying before. It's like you can only consume so much before you need to like stop and reflect or stop and produce. That's why I think I sit somewhere right in the middle.
So I have a question for you from the last artist interviewed. Well, technically the last interview before the last interview. The artist called Laura Lee. And her question for you is, what are your influences outside of art?
Well, I think the number one is just like being in nature. When I lived in the Pacific Northwest, we lived very close to this, like, this trail that was old growth forest. It's like right off a road, and then you're suddenly like in this like enchanted forest, you know. Wow. Everything's green, everything is like lichen and moss, and you know, the trees are like hundreds of years old and huge. So it just like the beauty of nature. But I tend to be inspired also by like infrastructure and engineering. It's not something I really think about, but like just like dawned on me now, like overpasses and highways and just how things are built and like assembled is really inspiring. And I guess that makes sense, you know, like a lot of the all of the figures in my work have been assembled and so and they're like these structures with nature growing in, on, or around them, or vice versa. So I think that you know, just seeing how the two can operate together, and just seeing that in reality, like seeing nature reclaim a landscape is very inspiring. Or like see like an old dilapidated billboard with like vines growing through it. Last time I drove out to Philly, I saw a lot of that like on the highway, of just like these old billboards with huge vines going through it. And I would really like to do something with that.
That'd be really interesting. Taking kind of like, I was almost like electronic advertising, and then it's kind of like how to like something like that into your work or whatever. Or like that's interesting idea. That sounds really cool though, to be fair. I like that a lot, actually. So Laura also had a second question, which is, are you creating the work that you want to create?
Yes and no. I'm very happy with the trajectory that my art has been on. But I feel like I'm always sort of chasing like the perfect painting, knowing that there is no perfect painting. You know, if there was a perfect painting, it would go back to what you were saying before, which is like, would you stop? Probably not, but like, it's, I think I'm striving to get to conceptually and technically the work that I want to make. You know, I was never really like shown how to do this, and I've read a lot of books and whatever. And so like my skills are just assembled over time. And I'd like to get more savvy with the technical end. But there's also things that I think about, like with different media. Like I really like, I don't know if this is the right term, but like just like video art, like what you can do with film. And I've like dabbled with some things in the past, but it's like totally foreign to me. As far as a painting goes, like I know all the steps and I know everything that goes into making one of my paintings, but making like an art film, something that I would be like interested in watching, you know, I'd be like a baby at. It'd be like baby steps, which isn't to say that I would never do it. It's just not something I'm really too familiar with.
But then that unfamiliarity might be a really good starting point to look at your work in a very different way, or contemplate your themes in a very different way.
Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? It could be something. If I get some time.
That's a problem, though, isn't it?
Sometimes, right. Sometimes, like, I've written notes to myself late at night, like, make a video about just something stupid, like a puddle of water, like, or a balloon, or, you know, something, just anything, just to make a video. So then I could, like, take a bunch of parts and, again, assemble them into something that, like, speaks. It doesn't have to be some, like, avant-garde. It could still have a narrative or a storyline. I feel like video is just something that, like, it has the ability to tell a story the way a painting, like a two-dimensional, like, static piece of art doesn't. And that's exciting. You know, I love painting and I love 2D work and 3D, but it's something that I'm into just as a spectator.
So do you have a question for the next artist interview?
I do, but it's not really art related.
That's fine.
Okay. So where is it? Oh, top three bands that are alive. I watched the Super Bowl with some friends and my girlfriend the other day. And if you want to take it this way, if they're like into football at all, we said, like, what band would you like to see, or group or artist at the Super Bowl perform? And it could be anybody. It could be like the Cramps or something. For the record, I said Outkast, but
Good call, Pat.
Yeah, my girlfriend said Queen, and I'm like, oh man, that's like the perfect Super Bowl game.
Yeah, actually. I love that question. It's actually that's a fun question. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I figured too. I mean, you got the art questions down.
Yeah.
We gotta dabble in the music a little bit.
Absolutely. Who am I answering next? I need to think about that. Do I know? I know, but I can't remember who it is just yet. Oh no, I know who it is. I'll ask. They might be British though, I think, actually. But I'll still ask anyway. Still ask anyway. I'm pretty sure they're British. Is it?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be this great. It could just be top three bands.
I'll ask either way. I'll ask both.
There you go.
Are there any artists that you would like to collaborate with?
Oh man. You know, collaboration is something that I used to think was something that I wanted to do a lot, but I've tried it with like handing a painting back and forth, and it's challenging. But I feel like the perfect venue for collaborating is with a mural, you know, where either you work on one big piece together and sort of help each other in that way, or, you know, it's like two pieces like sort of colliding. I mean, I guess there's a lot of different ways to collaborate, but I feel like that would be like a no-brainer. Man, there's so many. I have a lot of like art friends that I would love to work with. Actually, like Juan Sanabria, I think you had him on the show before.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Argentinian artist. He's super cool.
Absolutely lovely guy.
He's doing murals right now. I'd love to collaborate with him. He does like you know, his painting work it's like pixel based. Or you know it. It's like pixel based with like reality portraits. And you know, I feel like our work would really like sort of gel together, especially on a large scale. But the murals that he's doing now are sort of like on a whole nother level. A lot of animals and like a very like limited color palette, like grays and pinks and like teals and stuff. Very cool. Yeah, so Juan would be awesome. I'm trying to think of who else does murals. Like Allison Bamcat, do you know her?
Yes.
She does murals out of LA. Her stuff is super vibrant, super fun. And she's super cool. So, I mean, it'd be fun to work with her. I don't know. I'd have to think more about that.
Yeah. But
I feel like now I would just be like listing all my pals, you know.
I think it'd be, I don't know, I just think collaborations, particularly in the art world, are just very interesting because, as you said, like there are so many different ways you can do them. It's not just a one-way thing. So that's really, really interesting to see how you'd approach that.
Yeah, I did a two-person show with this artist Thad Kelstad way back in the day, and we each did somehow 17 pieces for this show. We didn't plan it, and then we collaborated by putting like a few of the pieces on the same wall together. It was just like a small, like 5 or 6 foot wall. And then we both painted a little, like, it was just like sort of like a fun little thing behind the paintings. But we did it together, and it was just elements from each of our paintings.
So
it wasn't, you know, like a direct collaboration on a painting or collaboration that anybody can own, you know, because it got painted over. But it was, and that's sort of like a beautiful thing too, is like the ephemeral collaboration.
So what is the biggest challenge of being an artist?
I think lately it has been staying focused and staying like on task, especially with moving studios. So I like gave myself a week to like get everything set up and get back to painting. And everything wasn't set up after a week. And I like found it so difficult to like focus on the painting with boxes and like stuff just in disarray. My environment was just like, finish me. And now that it's all put together, I feel like I could finally like get back in the zone. But like aside from like staying focused, like for me, it's, I think, social media. I like going on there and like messaging people and like talking with people. It feels like real, like a real, like you're just texting somebody. But like having to create content, like I'm trying to get better at it. But especially when doing a solo show, it's like, I'm just working on this. You know, I don't have a whole lot to post outside of that. So I've been posting like older works and like how they came together, basically like process videos. But I go through like it's like a swinging pendulum of being like, all right, social media, like I see the value in it. I want to do it. And then taking months off where I don't want to even like look at it. So it's like the modern curse of being an artist, but it's also a blessing, because like if it wasn't for Instagram, like I probably wouldn't be working with all these galleries. I found the Spotlight showcase submission for Arch Enemy through Instagram. Like a lot of galleries or other artists have reached out to me through Instagram. So it's like everybody else says, it's a double-edged sword that you like have to do these days, but whatever.
So can anybody be an artist?
I think so. It's sort of funny how many times every artist has heard somebody say, I can't even draw a stick figure. It's like, of course you can. It's just, you don't want to. You don't want to like be in the place of vulnerability of like, you know, trying this thing that feels either like foreign or childish, or like be in an embarrassed state because your stick figure looks wonky or something. I feel like if you have curiosity and you want an outlet, like it's there for you. You have to put in the time, you have to practice. It's just like, it's like, can anybody play the guitar? It's like, probably, you know, but you have to practice. It's the same, you know, drawing is the same, painting is the same, all of it. You know, some people just like are naturally, like they take to it easier. But I feel like if you want it, then you can be. As far as being a working artist, that's a different story. And that's something that you really have to make sacrifices and put in a lot of time and a lot of work honing your craft and trying to get good. Just get good and then also get lucky. But there are the sacrifices too. Like I said, like I spend so much time in the studio. Like I saw my friends, we hung out during the Super Bowl. It was the first time I've seen them in months. And you have to make sacrifices, and like, it's not always going to be that way. You have ups and downs, especially if you're like creating like a series, creating like a large body of work, you have to put the time in. If you're like, I want to be an artist, but I also want to, you know, do this and also do that. If you're dabbling, like, yeah, you can be an artist, but like, unless you get really lucky, like you also have to put in the work and, you know, unfortunately choose. It's like you're not going to be like a very successful artist and a very successful musician or, you know, whatever, unless you're like a dynamo or, like I said, really lucky. If you're one of those types of people that are just like firing on all cylinders constantly, sure. Yeah. But like us, like normal normies, whatever, like need some downtime. But to answer your question, yes, but also no.
So the second to last question is, what would your younger self think about your work?
My younger self would be blown away. I think I'd be like, there's that meme of the kid and it's just like, wow. And I think that would be like me, just like completely like, how did you do this? How did you make that look dimensional or whatever? I think the work that I was making as a kid was like, it was fun. It was interesting. It was like, you know, I would like have markers and colored pencils and, you know, be making my little characters and they'd be like biting or I don't know what else I did. But now there's just they're dynamic and weird. And I think that I either that or I'd be like, yeah, that's cool, but can you draw Wolverine? Can you, like, I like this, but, you know, that's no saber tooth. Yeah, one of those. I don't know.
So the last question, double barrel question, which is, what are you currently working on? And where can people find more about you and your work?
Sure. Yeah. So I am working on 9 pieces for a solo show at Arch Enemy in Philadelphia. The show opens May 3rd, 2024, and it'll be up for a month. And that is all that I'm working on right now. Oh, actually, you know what? I can make an announcement finally. So I did this last year, and as of this month, I'm like allowed to share it. Okay. I did a magic card. I did a Magic the Gathering card.
Oh, wow.
And I produced a card, Spell Pierce, which is just like a pretty common card, but it's of like this merfolk wizard, which I didn't know what that was. It's like a merman wizard deflecting a spell. It was like before my like green phase really kicked in. Hmm. And so it's like very colorful, almost like psychedelic looking. So yeah, that's coming out this month. So that's cool. The painting will go out for auction, I think, soon. As far as where people can find my work, Instagram at Michael Kohler Art and my website, michaelkohlerart.com. I'm not really on anything else. I am on YouTube, actually, Michael Kohler Art. I think that's it. You can find me through there. I do a lot of process videos. Yeah.
That's absolutely perfect. Michael, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me, Aaron. This has been a blast.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you just being very kind of open and honest about your work and just taking the time to talk about it. That concludes my conversation with artist Michael Kohler. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions or comments about it, please send me an email over at theflyingfruitbowl@gmail.com or get in touch via social media sites such as Twitter and Instagram. The Flying Fruit Bowl podcast can be found on a variety of sites such as Spotify, YouTube and Apple Music. If you're interested in supporting the show, please consider rating, reviewing, sharing or subscribing on any of these platforms. Additionally, please don't forget to check out theflyingfruitbowl.co.uk for daily art inspiration. And if you're a creative, please get in touch for a chance to be featured or interviewed. The Flying Fruit Bowl podcast now also has a Patreon page for those people who are interested in donating monthly. Tiers start from £1, and more information on rewards can be found over at patreon.com/theflyingfruitbowl. If monthly donations are not your thing, we also have a PayPal for one-time donations. All donations go towards the running costs of the website and podcast. I'll include a link to our paper in the show notes. Once again, thank you very much for listening to this episode today. Until next time, folks, please stay safe.